The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon, Catherine in for Ray 51551 or ray at rte.ie to join in the chat today. We always love to hear from you. Well, lads, it has all finally come to an end. No, not Love Island. Where in the hell is our fabulous summer gone? It is miserable here in Dublin. It's grey and it's wet and it's raining and it's dreary. And I heard the word winter twice before 1 o'clock struck today. What's it like where you are? Somebody text me somewhere in the island of Ireland and tell me the sun is shining. 51551 or ray at rte.ie. Not sure what the weather is doing in Limerick today, but I doubt it's dampening spirits after smooth-talking Limerick man and poet extraordinaire Greg O'Shea was crowned the winner of Love Island last night with a ditty that would make Brendan Kennelly proud. And Love Island superfan who I was chatting to yesterday, Erin McGregor, had hoped they would win. She joins us on the line now. So you were watching with bated breath last night, Erin.
Oh, I was so excited. I was like, come on, the Irish. It felt like the World Cup, the Women's World Cup was happening last night.
He kind of came, like they came left to centre, didn't they? I mean, they didn't seem to be on the bookies' top couple for winning. You guys called, or I think it was Fionnuala maybe called, Tommy and...
Tommy and Marty.
Yeah.
My two were Amber and Greg, or Maura and Curtis. And I was really disappointed when Maura and Curtis came forth. I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, please don't be the predictable couple to win, because it's normally a predictable couple that wins every year. And so I was really glad to see someone who had a very, very tough journey, and somebody she fell in love with, and then they went off with somebody else and she had to watch that, and then to find somebody so last minute that happened to be Irish was such an amazing journey, and then she won to top it all off.
And do you think it was because people voted for her because they'd seen her go through such an amazing, such a difficult journey, coupled with the fact that Greg was kind of the gentleman, wasn't he? I mean, as I said, I wasn't the biggest fan in the world, but when he came in, he seemed to be very genuine and caring and very gentlemanly compared to, say, some of the others.
Yeah, he was. I mean, there were, some of them were really, really gentlemanly. And I mean, you can never judge somebody by just watching snippets from a 24-hour day and an hour reality TV. But I do think he came across really well. And I think people were so emotionally invested in Amber and her journey. And the fact that when she had an opportunity to take the man back who had broke her heart, I think many people were surprised that she stood up and went, no, I'm not giving it a second chance. Mm. And I think from one woman to another woman, I have given men second chances when probably I shouldn't have. So I think for people to see that she wasn't giving him a second chance, I think people went, wow. And I think that made her even grow more. And then Greg walked in. It was like a movie, like, you know, people's real life was happening in front of our eyes and we were just so invested in it. Her strong stance of girl power shone through, and I think that's where the public got behind her.
Okay, well, let's have a little listen to the winning moment last night.
It's been 8 weeks of romance, rows and rocky relationships, and now it's time to find out who you've chosen as your winning couple. Greg and Amber, Tommy and Molly May. The public have been watching your every move. We've laughed with you, we've cried with you, but most of all, we've fallen in love with you. And now it's time to reveal the winning couple. The winners of Love Island 2019 are...
I get slagged for doing the really long pause before revealing people's weight every week on Operation Transformation. She takes things to a whole new level.
Well, I'm sitting here, my heart is beating because it brings back memories of Dancing with the Stars in the final two, you know. I'm sitting here and I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I suppose it's done like that to get people their anticipation.
Oh, yes, it's to build attention. And they built the tension. 650,000 viewers in Ireland tuned into the finale last night on Virgin Media. That is huge, absolutely massive. And Erin, like Molly May, clearly because she was tipped to win, they must have been very disappointed.
I mean, look, I see things from a different perspective. I obviously was in part of a reality TV show that is a competition, and people criticise every move you make. I know what it's like to be standing there on live TV. So many people you know are watching it, and yet it's a competition, and you're thinking, oh my God, that adrenaline, that pain in your stomach. And people are thinking she's disappointed. She probably wasn't. She's probably never done live TV before. There's a real thing of stage fright. People that are so out there and so full of life, and then all of a sudden a camera comes on them and they stand still in their tracks. Mm. That's a real thing that can happen. So I tend not to judge them too much because I've been there and I've been judged for maybe a little facial expression. I smiled too much. I didn't smile enough. So, I mean, I'm sure she was happy to be in the final. Mm. I don't think it'll sink in that she didn't win until a few days later.
Okay. And come here to me. What do you think? Will Greg and Amber last?
Oh, I mean, look, I'd like to see they will last. I think Greg has come across amazing. And if him and Amber don't live happily ever after, I'm sure there's a lot of Irish girls out there that would be happy to take a chance on Greg from Ireland this year.
And you know what I loved what you said last night? Because I was being maybe a bit glib about the whole thing because I hadn't seen it. But for you to say fair play, you get in there and they you know, get involved with the show for 8 weeks. They come out and they make a name for themselves. They go and they do their appearances and they make a few quid.
Yeah, I'm delighted our Irish. Two Irish people are in that final. I am so happy. I am looking forward to seeing their journey. I am going to be watching their Instagrams. I hope they get as many opportunities as they possibly can. I mean, I know there's an awful lot of young Irish people out there looking for opportunities, and unfortunately sometimes they have to go across the water, so I was 100% rooting for them for that reason.
And
hope that everybody can get behind them.
And do you know what else as well? When I was on Instagram last night, Ruth Ann, who is the Irish songwriter who's done incredible things both in the UK and in the States, she actually wrote the song. Yes, she wrote the song for The Vow, I think it's called. Incredible. That has had over 7,000 hits on Shazam. Again, another brilliant Irish story out of Love Island, which has been just absolutely groundbreaking in the UK. So it's good for the Irish all around. It is.
Oh, good. I watched that last night and I saw that also. And it was so funny because I thought, oh my goodness, is this a sign? Is this a sign that we're going to have an Irish winner? And I think it's the first time in the five series on Love Island, though it's definitely on Love Island, that an Irish person has won in the final. I'm not sure about any other reality TV in across the water in the UK, but this is our first Love Island Irish winner. So I am over the moon for that.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. We're going to try and talk to Ruth Ann maybe a little bit later in the show because we've been watching the track and it's climbed to number 24 in the Irish iTunes chart, 47 in the UK chart, and that's only since last night. That is amazing.
Wow.
It's really great.
Wow.
Come here, what are you going to do with yourself now tonight?
Oh God, I don't know. I'm after being cleaning the house all day. I don't have to catch up on. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch the US one. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll have a break. But I'm sure I'm going to be watching all their Instagrams and I really wish them all the best.
Well, listen, always lovely to chat to you, my dear. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Catherine. Thanks.
Take care. Erin McGregor there on the end of Love Island. Now, there was a lot of stuff we didn't get to yesterday. We were talking about how mortifying it is sending texts by accident to the wrong people. We got so many hilarious admissions like this one. Catherine, having received a Tesco shopping delivery, I text the delivery man saying, love you, sleep tight. I obviously meant to send it to my son. The Tesco man, having read my slightly hysterical apology, said, no bother, Claire, I get that all the time. I tweeted a copy to Tesco, it went viral, and he got Employee of the Week. I thought that one was brilliant. This one, not so funny. But again, it shows not just texts, but when we get caught up in the wrong WhatsApp group, because how many WhatsApp groups are you part of? And it's so easy to get it wrong. Hi, Catherine. My husband and other parents in our WhatsApp group agreed to hand down school books from one kid to another a few months ago. No money changing hands. One of the parents then suggested that they do the swap for €20 so nobody was out of pocket. My husband agreed and sent €20 to one of the parents and accepted it from another. Then one of the parents sent a text saying how my husband was a tight L so-and-so for taking the €20, only he sent it to my husband's phone by accident instead of one of the other parents involved. I mean, that is the problem with WhatsApp groups. What I try and do is delete them off my phone if you've had a thread going for quite some time. But let me know if you've ended up doing that in WhatsApp groups as well. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was a video doing the rounds of supermodel Naomi Campbell and how she uses those antibacterial wipes when she travels on planes, which she does a lot. And I was kind of saying, is that not a bit paranoid? But there is lots of new research out about planes, which are enclosed environments, and being the perfect breeding ground for germs, which of course they are when you think about it. We've all picked up something in a plane and they're the perfect environment for germs that cause colds and flus and stomach upsets. So there was a piece in the paper today about how you can reduce your risk of picking up any nasty germs. So if you are packing the bags and going on the jollies, the one thing you do is pick a window seat. Now, I know there's constant, you know, you're either a window seat person or an aisle person. Nobody's a middle seat person. But if you want to try and avoid getting sick, you sit in the window seat, because apparently if you sit in the aisle, you are exposed to 64 people's germs compared to when you sit on the inside. That reduces to 12. So that's another reason, lads, to pick the window seat. And then they're saying, bring your antibacterial wipes a la Naomi. In 2015, a study by website Travel Math found that tray tables had 8 times more bacteria per square inch than the lavatory flush button. That is quite disturbing to think about. Switch on the air vent. That's another thing. Again, research has shown that because the air forces germ particles towards the floor, it reduces the amount of germs that you're exposed to. And then it's always good to travel with eye drops and nasal sprays, because the air dries out your eyes and it dries out your nose. So you're kind of rubbing your eyes and rubbing your nose. And of course, that's the most common ways for germs to enter into your system. So there you go. Let me know if you have a ritual that you do before you get on a plane. Do you bring your own tea bags? For me, I have to have my own bed socks, which I travel with, not even the deep vein thrombosis ones, just fluffy socks that are mine. And I have to have my own headphones as well. So let me know if you have a ritual that you do. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Nothing like an aisle talk about germs to dampen the summer holiday spirit. Well, that and this, actually.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in.
Now, that popped up on my Twitter feed today. Not that song. Selfridges have become the first department store in the world to open their Christmas shop 149 days ahead of Christmas Day. That's 2 days earlier than last year. That is just depressing. I mean, who gets into the Christmas spirit this time of the year? I do not understand it. It's July. I don't know. Am I on my own on this? I can't understand how Selfridges are going earlier and earlier every year. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I mean, I get getting, you know, your Christmas shopping, getting it going early, but that's just ridiculous. So let me know your thoughts on it. And I also want to get your take on this. Author Elizabeth Day was writing in the Daily Mail this weekend about how people with children automatically assume that because she's childless, she must want to spend time with their children. And she writes, most parents accept with mutual tolerance the notion that one's own children are always the best. The problem arises when, like me, you don't have children, and therefore people automatically assume you must want to spend time with theirs. As a 40-year-old woman who does not have children, I'm something of a rarity in these circles, a bit like an albino hamster. Inevitably, these mothers will also engage me in a long conversation about how hard it is to be a parent, to which I must listen while nodding sympathetically and trying not to glaze over. In their eyes, I am a woman woman without responsibility. To them, my lack of children means that I'm footloose and fancy free and have a blissfully empty diary that can accommodate their much busier lives. When you're childless, and particularly when you're single, you're expected to put in all the emotional labour to keep in touch with those who have children. There's a supposition that you must be yearning for some family time and that you can travel and fit in around their schedules because you don't have to worry about the logistical difficulties of packing sun hats and muslin cloths and packets of processed pumpkin. Oh, that is not mincing your words, Elizabeth. So let me know, what do you think? Do we make assumptions about people who are childless and in how they feel about other people's children? I'd love to get your thoughts on that. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Let's try a bit of sunny music. See, does that lift our spirits? It's pink there. The sun is shining, it seems, everywhere in the country but in Dublin. Catherine, I'm sitting here in the back garden in Carrigaline, County Cork. The sun is shining and it is a gorgeous day, says Michael. The sun is shining in Galway for the Galway races. Please God, that's the case for the weekend as well. The Galway races is always brilliant, but it's always much better crack when the sun is shining as well, isn't it? I am in Boyle, Catherine, says Pat Murphy and Geraldine Corr, sitting outside in the sun with a beer. Good for you guys. Cominole Beach in Slayhead, County Kerry, the sun is shining. Hello to the Fennessys and Bradys on the beach. It's lovely and sunny in Bandon, West Cork. I'm telling you, it's sunny everywhere but here. Alrighty, there is an Irish video that went up online yesterday. It has over 500,000 views already. It is a massive reaction. It's a video of Dublin MMA fighter Ian McGarry, but he's not fighting. In the video, he's singing with his granddad who has dementia. Ian is on the line now. How are you doing, Ian?
How's things? How are we?
I am very good, sir. I'm very good. Tell me about your granddad.
So his name is Sean Cummins. He's in his 70s and he has dementia. And basically what the video is I got a tattoo recently that kind of reminds me of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the word imagine.
Right.
It's on my left arm. It's just one word, just in the middle of my arm. And the reason I got it is because obviously he has dementia, so he has memory issues. So he can't remember a lot of things. Like, he doesn't know my name, for example. My name is, like, I'm the big one. I'm the big fella.
The big fella, okay.
That's my name. But for some reason, whenever you say the word imagine, he just goes straight into song. So the Beatles were his favourite band.
He obviously loved music and dance and everything.
Loves a good sing song, loves a good dance. We have videos of him dancing in the house some nights, me and him, and we have videos of him singing. But once you say that word, it might not even be just the word. It might be in the middle of a conversation, and he'll just go, oh, that's a great song, and he'll just start singing it.
Wow.
I got that because it reminds me of him, and then I decided I'd show him. So I'd actually got, previous to that, I got another tattoo and I showed it to my nana and I was like, right, well, I can't wait to show my granddad his because I can't wait to see his reaction.
And it is the sweetest thing in the world. So you filmed it and you went in, going into the house. Talk us through it.
So I basically gave a quick description while I was sitting in my car outside his house saying what the tattoo was, why I got it. And then when I walked into the house, he was sitting down on the couch and my nana and my uncle were in the house. So I walked in, I was like, what's up, boss?
Aww.
And I showed him my arm, I was like, do you like it? And my nana was kind of pointing out because he didn't really know what to look at. And she was like, look at his arm. And he goes, oh yeah, imagine. And then he just started singing.
Let's take a listen to you guys in action.
What's up, boss? Good thing.
Nobody has on his arm.
Imagine,
yeah. Imagine
there is
no heaven.
It's a great
tune,
isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's easy if you try. No heaven or above us only sky. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us.
What happened?
And the world will be as one.
that is just so gorgeous, Ian. And I can imagine when you've got a family member going through dementia and you're losing them day by day or week by week, to have that connection where they come back to you in some way must be the most amazing feeling in the world.
Yeah, like he's so sweet, and he's like, oh, like me and him have a lot of good crack in the house, because he's very similar to myself, and we always have good banter between us. But it's like the whole family kind of realizes that like we're losing him, really. Like, he doesn't know my auntie's names or my mom's names sometimes, and he has a lot of problem remembering stuff. So it's just nice to know that we can kind of grab him back with like a couple of songs. Like, if you put on Devil Woman, that's his favourite. That's one of his favourite songs. He'll just start singing that as well. And it's just lovely to have something like that we can all kind of click with him.
Yeah, so totally. And there's been so many people contacting you. Like, as I said, 500,000 hits in 24 hours. What are people saying to you on Facebook and on Twitter?
It's absolutely madness. Like, I put the video up just because I thought it was a good video, and I thought people might like to see his reaction, because I knew it would have been funny. But like, there's literally been near 600,000 views, and people are saying stuff like, there's a comment here, and it's some fella saying, this is the best video on Twitter. Generally watched it a few times. The biggest smile on my face when I watched it. The way he springs into life is superb. What a guy. Moments like this are priceless. Cherish them all. Another fella says, a beautiful moment between this lad and his granddad. Would give anything to have another day with mine, who was taken too early. He was my best mate growing up, and he's still a hero and a role model to me to this day. If I can be half the man he was, I'll be all right. Cherish every moment with him, pal. These are the days you'll remember.
Totally.
So it's just stuff like that where you can see it's proper, it's real emotional kind of speeches from people. It's not just, oh, that's unbelievable. People actually are kind of connecting to it due to the fact that it's an illness or a disease that has affected millions and millions of people, because all it takes is one person in your family and everyone's been affected by it. So the reaction to the video has been insane.
And it's the simplicity of it as well, Ian. I think it's, and we were only talking about grandparents yesterday, and the importance, and it's such a special relationship, a grandparent and a grandchild. And it's kind of indescribable, I think, because people have different relationships with their grandparents, but it's a very special relationship. And when I'm looking at it, I just see the two of you are such great mates. And it's such a special thing to be able to have that before you lose them completely.
Exactly. So, like, I'm in a very, very lucky situation where I still have all four of my grandparents.
Okay.
My granddad has dementia, and my other granddad has Parkinson's. So we're kind of just taking kind of it all day by, well, not day by day. It's not that bad, but I mean, just every day counts. Every time you see them, you just kind of cherish the moments and enjoy it, because they're all at that age where, look, touch wood, it doesn't happen anytime soon, but all four of them could be gone tomorrow, type of thing. So it's just, you've got to just enjoy it while
you've got to love them and cherish them while they're there, don't you? You've got to love them and cherish them while you're there, while they're there.
Well, look, there'll be one day where they won't be here, and then I won't be able to enjoy their company. So you've just got to enjoy it while you can, and that's life. Unfortunately, one day they won't be here.
Did he know that you're an MMA fighter?
Yeah, and he knows about my fighting and all. He says he beat me, but he hasn't a clue.
Well, listen, good luck with everything, Ian, and fair play. It was a gorgeous video, and I have no doubt that it's going to go even more viral than it already has. That's Ian McGarry. Thanks for talking to me today, Ian.
No problem. Thank you. All the best.
No worries. And just to say, the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland's National Helpline Service is open 6 days a week, and you can call 1800 341 341 or email helpline@alzheimer.ie. Let's take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So you can keep your text coming in to 51551 or you can email ray@rte.ie. Les Martin is a dad of three. Two of his children have a rare disease called MLD. I am going to get you to pronounce the big long word, but I'll just go with MLD for the time being. Okay. He and his wife Linda are campaigning for the heel prick test to be expanded to test for more rare conditions in an effort to diagnose rare diseases earlier and improve the treatment options available. Thanks a million for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Catherine.
I heard you on with Ryan a couple of months ago and I felt like I'd say everybody listening that that was a difficult interview to do, no more than probably this one will be. But if I can ask you, maybe let's set out the stall again for those that don't know the family background and the family story, because you have big news today that you're going to share with us shortly. But give us a recap. You have three kids. There's Holly, Cathal and Kieran.
Yeah, Holly is, she'll be seven next week, and Cathal is five, and Kieran is three. The two boys have MLD, as you said, that's metachromatic leukodystrophy,
right,
which is a rare condition, one in 40,000 births. So Cathal grew up fine until he was like 2 years of age. He was coming along totally, you know, was
rocking along, no problem.
He just was kind of slow to get walking on his own. So it was for that reason that we, you know, began to suspect something was up when we went.
And there's so many kids who don't walk until later. It's not a big, you weren't probably concerned or worried or.
Well, look, no parent is. They hope the best for their own kids and they don't have these things in their mind until all of a sudden they land on their lap, which it did in a heap for Linda and myself at that time. So we were a long time up and down to the hospital, investigating what was going on with Cathal.
And at that stage, your concerns were just he wasn't walking, or?
Yeah, at that point, he was talking really well. He was, everything else was fine, all his little milestones and things that you'll know all about yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was slow to walk. So over the course of a good few months, we were up and down to the hospital and he slowly got a little worse. Long story short, eventually we received a diagnosis of this metachromatic leukodystrophy, MLD, for Cathal. And because it's a genetic condition, they also checked Kieran, his younger brother, and we discovered that they both had the condition. And that's for Cathal. Unfortunately, it was too far progressed for any hope of any treatment. But for Kieran, because he was that bit younger, he was just about one at that time, there was a trial treatment available in Italy, which we, you know, we received our diagnosis for both the boys in 1 week. And then a couple of days later, we were on the plane, gone to Italy, stayed there for 7 or 8 months to avail of the treatment for Kieran.
And can I ask you what that was like for as parents to be hit with the most horrific, heartbreaking news, and that was on a Friday for two of your children, and then you were on a flight to Italy on the Monday.
Yeah.
With just trying to get treatment for just one of the boys or for two of them?
For one of them. We knew a little bit earlier that, you know, we were 90% sure that Cathal had this condition and that we were waiting for some tests to come back, hoping that Kieran also didn't have it. But when that news landed on us, look, I don't know if I could describe in words what that felt like at that time. Total disaster, I suppose.
And you obviously have to go into fight mode as well.
Yeah. This is it. So I suppose we received the news both boys had the illness. Cathal, unfortunately, as I said, there was no hope of any treatment now. As I said, he's five now and he's pretty close to his end. He's completely paralysed now and he's peg fed and it's suction and oxygen. And now he still is a great little boy and he still has the laughs most days. You know, you'll get a little smile out of him and he's well aware of us there and he's still giving plenty to us, so we love him for that. But Kieran, as you said, fight or flight. They told us that he was sick, but there's a chance if you go immediately to Italy, they'll assess him for partaken in this trial, and if he's accepted that, you know, there's hope there. So that's all we had at that point. Mm-hmm. And we left with that, and thank God now we're 2.5 years on from that now. Mm-hmm. Ciarán has reacted very well to that treatment. And he's now gone well beyond the point that Cathal had reached. Do you know, he's walking independently now. He's a little bit, he's taken some damage from the disease, so he has nerve damage, some brain damage, but you know, he's managing really well. He's going to school and he's just about walking on his own with splints on his legs. He's a little kind of clumsy, but that's about it. And recently, I suppose, in his last two checkups, they're telling us that the progression of disease has stabilised and that we've good reason to hope that he'll remain the way he is and have full life. So what I choose to believe at the moment is that we saved Ciarán's life through all that ordeal.
How as a parent do you process all of that? And I'm just thinking of me, you know, as a new parent trying to manage my thoughts, because you're there with a child that you're trying to save with another child in Italy with you, where the same chance didn't happen for him because of not receiving an earlier diagnosis.
Well, everything is kind of bittersweet, I suppose, for us now. As I say, look, Ciarán is, we've good hope for Ciarán, and that's what we're choosing to believe. And but all the while, you know, Cathal is losing his battle, and the only sense we can make of it, and it's a stretch, but, you know, if it wasn't for Cathal and his illness, it would be Ciarán who we'd lose. So Cathal, in a way, gave his own life up to save his brothers. And as it transpires, then the story of Cathal's life went on. And that's what I'm here to speak about today, I suppose, is the newborn screening campaign that has came from our contact with Italy and our continued contact with Italy. We're over and back there a lot for checkups and for other treatment with Ciarán, and it's them that has given us all the information to go ahead with the campaign that we have of late, and achieve some of the success that we have.
And it is thanks to your campaigning that you're here to give us an update that Ireland is on the way to doing the same as in Italy. So just tell us what they do in Italy compared to what we do here in terms of the heel prick test.
Yeah, so the heel prick test, it's every newborn baby gets a little blood spot heel prick test done a couple of days after they're born here in Ireland, and they screen that for 8 conditions that are currently on the approved list. In Italy, 2 years ago, they only had 4 conditions. Now, both of those numbers are very low compared to other countries. In the US, it's 35. In other countries around Europe, it's mostly in the 20s. The average in Europe is 22. But here in Ireland, we're a good bit behind.
Why is that?
I think the situation's complex. And, you know, Italy's the change that they made is kind of, they bucked the trend. Internationally, that what they did is they introduced a law which gives every Italian baby born, every citizen, the right to be treat or to be screened for every condition for which there is a treatment.
And you said they went from 2 years ago, they've done that turnaround in literally 2 years.
They did it in 1 year, so the campaign started 2 years ago.
Okay.
And in 1 year they went from 4 conditions screened to 40.
Okay.
Across 20 centres serving 65 million people at a cost of about €50 per child. And in their first year, the data was released in February that they had saved 350 children who would not have been identified had it not have been for their new screening programme. So, as I said, through our contacts in Italy and, you know, our own boy's condition is actually not on this list of conditions, but we were aware of some of the work they were doing about newborn screening. We asked the question and they came forward with all this information and written support offers from the Minister of Health in Italy and the Department of Health, and our contacts there to help Ireland do the same thing.
And were you one of the first people, had people tried before to get this over the line? Because I know after you were on with Ryan, you presented in Leinster House yourself.
So there's like every condition up to now has been treated individually, and there's parents like me who've lost kids who are, petitioning for their conditions to be included to save the next children. But if you look at it from the perspective of introducing a law, it kind of supersedes all of those efforts, and it includes all of those efforts together as one, and it guarantees that any new screening for any condition that's viable according to certain criteria, which is up to the HSE still to decide, will be included into the future. So it kind of takes all those campaigns together as one and could really potentially solve the problem of newborn screening indefinitely into the future and save, hundreds or thousands of lives.
And I know Senator David Norris, he's been behind you from the get-go. Simon Harris has been to the House, and there seems to be cross-party support on this unanimously.
Well, I had such a body of information from the Italians. So I wrote to all of our senators and TDs, and I must say that I received good response. There are 200 plus of them, but I got responses initially from 60 or 70 of them, accepting what I had said and promising to support it in some way. But in particular, David Norris took an interest in it, and he, just before they went on their break there for the summer, there was a debate, a private motion brought forward by him in the Senate to discuss this and to introduce this law as they have in Italy. And in that debate, every party was represented. There was contributions from 8 or 10 different senators and the minister himself and Minister Finian McGrath. And there was unanimous support for it. It was passed without a vote. David Norris now has promised that the bill, which will bring the law into place, is being drafted at the moment, and he's going to bring it to the Senate early in their next sitting in the autumn. Mm-hmm. So given all the support, it was also included in a motion in the Dáil, which received, again, unanimous support. It was a motion for maternity services, but there was an item in there included by John Brady and Louise O'Reilly, which says, just as the Italian law states, that every child should have the right to be screened for anything that we can treat. There's no point in having these treatments available if we don't look for the patients, and the earlier the better. As I said, Kieran, he was treated at a year, and he's taken damage and will live with that. But if he had been identified at birth, which hypothetically all these other children with these other conditions could be, the outcome is much better for the families and for the kids. So that's what we want to see.
What I find so amazing listening to you is you said MLD is not even going to be included on this list yet. And when you were going through what you were going through, and you're still going through what you're going through, and it's as you said, it's too late in one way for Cathal, but yet you went on and you still fought the fight for other parents, and not actually other parents, for other children that are not yet born, while in the midst of dealing with this family trauma, family turmoil yourselves. Was that very hard?
I would say it's because of that, Catherine.
Yeah.
Because of that experience of the last 2.5 years. Now, if you had got me a year ago, I wouldn't be able to speak to you about this.
Yes.
We're happy in a way that Kieran has stabilised, and as I said, we have hope. And this is about Cathal for me, and making his life and what he's gone through worth all that suffering. Mm-hmm. And because I know, Linda knows, and other parents out there know what it's like to live with a child like that, is the very reason why I couldn't and we can't ignore it. It's the type of thing you can't unhear once you know it, and once it was put on a plate, very much so, mm-hmm. for me. I went away to the minister and to the politicians, like I said, with this you know, a long letter and supporting documents. And really, they, I believe, saw the beauty in it and the simplicity in it. Simon Harris is making great strides and promised to do it as quick as he could. He's appointing a national screening board. The chair has been appointed and the rest of the board will be put together very shortly. And number one on their agenda now will be newborn screening because of this. And also they hope preparing, that this... preparing the case from Italy to present to that screening board once it's assembled so that they can look at it very quickly. And he has also met the Italian minister and he's sending a delegation to their labs and they're eagerly awaiting their arrival to share, you know, what they see as one of the best improvements made to their health system in recent years with us.
What a fabulous result, you know, born out of such tragic circumstances for your family. But I do think it's very admirable of you because I can see how difficult it is for you being in here and talking about it. And I just, it really is. It's so admirable because there's a huge strength in your vulnerability as well, if I can say that.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't come on to kind of glorify what we have done or I don't enjoy telling the story of guys, but there's good reason to it. Look, I hope that this finds the ears of some of our politicians. I know that they will have seen some of my letters. I've been plaguing them with information over the last while, but as I said, it's come to it's progressed nicely in recent weeks. I hope that they will anticipate and expect that this bill should come to the Dáil and the Senate very short.
We asked the Department of Health for a statement on this before you came on and they said a national screening committee will be established and become operational before the end of 2019. The minister has recently appointed Professor Niall O'Higgins as chair of the new national screening committee and expressions of interest for the remaining membership was advertised last week. So it's happening.
Yeah, and well, my point to the minister and to the other politicians always was one child every week is born in this country with one of these 40 conditions. Mm-hmm. So that's one version of me and Linda and one version of Cahill born every week with a condition they can treat. Mm-hmm. Now to wait is you know, it's cruel to do that mm-hmm. when it's there on the table for us. Minister Harris, obviously these things take time and it can be to the frustration of the rest of us, but I'm happy now that they are doing as much as they can, as quick as they can, and they're looking at it very seriously. And I hope that it all comes to pass very soon.
And you and Linda are full-time carers. You both gave up your jobs to look after the boys.
Yeah.
How is Holly?
Holly's great. She's an angel. If it wasn't for Holly, we'd be lost long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been with us every step of the way.
Difficult journey for her as well, I'd imagine.
Look, we moved to Italy and with the understanding that we'd only have 6 to 12 months with Cahill left. So we brought her with us. We stayed there. It was a very difficult time. Gladly now we're back home for the last year and a half, 2 years. And Holly's... I don't know where she gets her strength and, you know, this kind of simple way a child has of looking at life and they accept what's in front of them all the time. We never hide anything from her. She's there to help her brothers all the time. She's great.
Mm-hmm. So. There is a mass wave of support coming in for you here. Catherine, my heart goes out to that father there. It's heartbreaking. I'm reduced to tears here and will pray and hope they continue to have strength to cope with such a big burden. Please God, Kieran will be okay. What a heartbreaking story with a small silver lining. You can hear the heartbreak in Ian's voice. Pass on our deepest sympathy and wish the family all the best for the future. That's what we do wish you, all the best for the future.
I'd like to say another very important point, Catherine, to those people who are listening. Now, on top of all of that, which has been great, as I said, the progress, and I hope to see it come to pass, but it's also shone a light on the condition, the situation for people living with rare diseases here in Ireland and the lack of support and services for those people.
Mm-hmm.
I went looking for support from a rare disease organisations to help with the campaign, but I found that, in fact, it was them that needed help. because I've had the ear of the minister and the other politicians. We've made good progress on that front as well, and there's promises of strengthened services and support for people living with rare diseases here in Ireland. And I'd like to put this out to your listeners, and that there's a change coming. There'll be information campaigns, the organisations are going to be supported and will expand. And I'd like to ask people who are living at home like us, mm-hmm. with a rare disease or their kids with a rare disease, to contact, there's two organisations at the moment, Rare Disease Ireland, mm-hmm. and also there's a parents group on Facebook, Rare Ireland, that support each other. Like, the only beneficial advice Linda and I would have freely received in all this time would have came from parents who
were going through the same thing. Yeah,
and I think there's a great scope to provide help to as many people living in our situation as we can, and promises from the minister to support that. So we hope to see some changes in the coming 6 to 12 months that will really improve that situation. And anybody who's at home in need of help or can help people with rare diseases, to contact those two organisations. You might put the contact information
on
our website.
We will, for sure. We'll put that up. We'll put all of that on our website. And you know what? It takes people like you to make change happen. So, Les, we wish you all the best to yourself and Linda and to Kieran and Cahill and Holly. Thanks a million for talking to me today.
Okay.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, a Dublin singer's song was featured during the Love Island finale last night. Ruth Ann is her name. The song was called The Vow. It was played in full on the show. It's climbed now to number 7 in the Irish iTunes chart and is racing up the UK charts since last night as well. So let's take a listen to it.
When time is up and the sun it dies, until the rivers flood and the ocean dries, hand in hand under the falling sky, I will love you. When I'm all so old that I lose my mind, but I'll still look at you like it's the first time. So many say it and it's all a lie, but you are the reason I make it through the day. You give me the reason.
Oh. That is The Vow, and that is Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't chatted to you since many years ago on The Voice.
Long time.
It's a long time. How are you keeping?
Well, I'm having an unbelievable day today. I have bad days, and this is definitely a good day. Very good.
So you were watching live, but had no idea what was coming.
No idea.
Did you know the song was going to be played?
No.
Not at all.
No. I'm an indie artist. I'm signed to an independent label in the UK, and they had pitched a song last year. And they'd said to me, oh, you know, we're going to try again this year. We're sending your songs. But because it wasn't played last year, I thought, oh, it's fine. You know, I've just kind of gave up on thinking. But they didn't mention to me about The Vow being pitched. It was like newer stuff. So I was just watching it with my friends. And it was so weird because I actually was in the house that I wrote the lyrics of The Vow. I was in my friend's house. And I hadn't been there for like 6 months. Yeah. And they were like, you wrote that here? Because I woke up in the middle of the night and wrote the lyrics down in their house when I was staying there one time. So when it came on, I thought it was someone's phone. And I was like, why is The Vow playing? And then my boyfriend was like, oh my God. And he started screaming. And I was like, oh my God. So then I thought, oh, they're using the instrumental of it. That's amazing. And then my vocal came on and I was like, oh my God, this is on the... And then it kept going. It kept playing. And I was like, I couldn't even believe what was happening. None of my team knew. Absolutely no one knew.
So oh my God.
It wasn't like they even, we were all surprised.
That is brilliant. Why do you think it was chosen? I mean, the lyrics sort of, just even that little snippet there summed up the scene completely.
that's what I felt like, is that like, I was so glad they chose the vow, because it is, it happens to be like one that's been in a lot of weddings. I get a lot of videos from people who've had it in weddings recently and proposal videos, and that scene felt like a proposal or a wedding. I was like, Tommy's about to propose to Molly Mae. And it just, it felt like the lyrics just fit perfectly with everything they've been through. And it's so weird for me to say that, because I'm so obsessed with Love Island, and I actually was like, the lyrics really do work for what's been going on. They're married to this Constance in there. They've no one else.
And isn't it amazing that, because the song, it's been out for a year, has it? And it's now just...
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It was my first single as an artist, and it's been amazing to just see, I mean, the power that a single like that can have. Love Island is obviously the biggest show kind of like ever. And, you know, to have so many viewers, and just all you ever want is the most people getting to hear your song. And obviously for radio, you know, a ballad, when you first come out, it's like, you know, but so now to just have people playing it and have people's eyes on it and have people buying it, which obviously as a female artist in Ireland, all I want to see is more females on them charts, Catherine. Like, we really do need to support our own. And I think that there's so many amazing, such amazing talent in Ireland at the moment. And to be someone representing the country and be in that list of females, all we want to do is be on the charts in our home countries. So to see that, to be at number 7 at the moment in the Irish iTunes chart, honestly means the world to me.
Huge congratulations, and let's fingers crossed, and I have no doubt that you're just going to keep rocking up those charts. Ruth Ann, so lovely to chat to you again, and enjoy the celebrations.
Thank you. If anyone's at Indie Festival on Saturday, I'm playing 9:45. If you're at Indie Festival, come say hi.
Fantastic. Have a great day, Ruth Ann.
Okay, thank Bye. You. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good man, John. Thanks a million. At the top of the show, I was talking about Selfridges being the first shop in the world who's opened their Christmas shop today. And Andrew texted in, I was in Newbridge Silver last Friday and they have their Christmas shop open. And then Dennis and Killarney, Catherine, I had my Christmas party last night in the Grand Hotel in Killarney. Tourists couldn't understand how so many people were going around with Xmas hats on. And Paddy in Castle Pollard has said, I took my Christmas tree down 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
3 weeks ago. If I had done it any earlier, I would have been divorced. It's hardly worth it. I should have left it up. All I did was upset the cats moving their forest. Wow. Some people do still love a little bit of Christmas. Joe McElderry, how are you doing,
I'm
sir?
Very well, thank you.
Delighted that you're in studio
it's
now.
Good to be here.
Listen to me. You are... Do people still go X Factor winner? Joe McElderry.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the first introduction that I had to everyone, so they always remember that.
And the X Factor was 2009?
10 years this year.
Oh, wow.
Scary
I
times.
Remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people think it was only like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's been a fun old 10 years, I'll tell you that.
You have been busy, and of course you're starring in Club Tropicana, the musical. It's opening tonight at Dublin's Bord Gáis Energy Theatre.
Yes.
And it's running until Saturday.
Yes.
So how are you all set for tonight? Have you been in rehearsals?
Yeah. Well, we've been touring since January with it. So we've been all over the place. And it's the last 3 weeks. We're kicking off the last 3 weeks of the tour now. So we've got Dublin, Inverness and Cardiff, and then we're finished.
Okay.
So
and give us the vibe, like give me the pitch on Club Tropicana. Right. It's lots of 80s music.
So it's all set to 80s music. It's set in a hotel called Club Tropicana. Surprise, surprise. And basically the story is I play Gary, the flamboyant entertainments manager, and he's in charge of kind of keeping the guests entertained. And let's say, imagine the worst hotel you've ever been on a package deal. We could probably match it.
Oh, I've done a fair few of them
And it's not a great hotel. And I have a trusty sidekick called Consuela. We are played by the wonderful Kate Robbins, and we're a bit of a double act. And basically, cut a long story short, we think we're up for inspection. And I have this idea that I'm going to dress Consuela up in all different outfits and make her do impressions and performances and pretend she's basically lots of different guests. And we have another story kind of going on at the same time where two people leave each other at the altar. They jet off with their separate friends to what they think is two different hotels, and they end up at the same place. So whilst it's all going on, there's absolute chaos and pandemonium. Set to hilarious comedy and amazing 80s tunes.
And when you were on The X Factor as well, there were a lot of, like, that's kind of your vibe. You did a lot of 70s and 80s music back then, didn't you?
Intentionally, but I think, you know, if you look back at kind of all of the great kind of timeless songs came from a lot of that kind of time period, you know?
Yeah.
We were just saying the other day, 80s music, it still is played on radio every day now. It still kind of is, it was so ahead of its time.
Yes.
It still feels quite modern now, you know? And it was also the great thing I think about 80s music is that it was great kind of technology was just coming in the kind of pop industry, but they were still writing amazing lyrics. So the lyrics of the songs are still brilliant, you know? So it's been great to perform it all on the, and the audience go mad for it.
Yes.
You know, they just, people love a bit of nostalgia.
And that's it. We had a band on yesterday called State Lights and they did the Aha song, Take On Me.
Yeah, we do that in our show.
Oh my God. It is such a good song. And again, it's that 80s pop. It's just, there's something about it.
Yeah.
It's so catchy. You want to sing to it.
We've got everything from Just Can't Get Enough, Relax, Making Your Mind Up, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It is a complete... Well, they're saying Love Island meets Mamma Mia, which is top of Love Island finished last night. So if you want a Love Island fix, you don't have to just be a fan of the 80s.
And the one thing I remember on I was about to say on Love Island, on X Factor when you were on it, was Cheryl really took you under her wing. You're both Newcastle.
Yeah.
Excuse my accent.
I was all right that.
Was it okay?
It was all right, yeah.
And, you know, she really was invested in you. And it was probably one of the first times we'd seen her like that with a contestant, I felt.
Well, I suppose you guys probably feel the same with people from like Dublin and things.
Yes.
You kind of, if somebody who you know is in an industry just from them being in the same place, we have that, in the Northeast where I'm from, we have that really strong community spirit, you know?
Yes.
And you just want people to do well and you really want to get behind them. And I think that mixed with, she'd gone through exactly the same process as what I'd gone through, you know? So she kind of knew how I would feel. I'd never been away from home before. I'd come from a really small town in just outside of Newcastle. So I think she kind of got it, you know, and she got that. I needed to kind of take us under her wing a little bit.
And good grounding, I'd imagine, to go on and kind of for the career that you've gone on to forge today. So,
yeah.
What are we going to sing? You're going to sing Just Can't Get Enough?
Yeah, but can I do you a little bit of a different version? Because obviously it's a full-on pop song in the show and we have a full dance routine that goes with it, but I couldn't really bring all the cast here. So we'll do you a little strip-back version.
Do me a little strip-back version. Go and get there on your mic while I admire your shirt.
I wore it because of Club Tropicana.
Well, it is. It's very 80s. It's very flamboyant.
Thank you.
And suits you, sir. Suits you. Take it away.
When I'm with you, baby, I go out of my head. And I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. All the things you do to me and everything you said. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. We slip and slide as we fall in love. And I just can't seem to get enough of. We walk together, we're walking down the street. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. Every time I think of you, I know we have to meet. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. It's getting harder, it's a burning love. And I just can't seem to get enough of. And when it rains, you're shining down for me. I just can't get enough, I just can't get enough. Just like a rainbow, you know you set me free. I just can't get enough, I just can't get enough. You're like an angel and you give me your love. And I just can't seem to get enough of. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. You're like an angel and you give me your love. And I just can't seem to get enough of. I just can't get enough.
Joe McElderry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Club Tropicana, the musical, it's opening tonight at Dublin's Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Enjoy it, lads. Not that I have to tell you that. You're going to do that anyway.
Enjoy it. Don't you worry about that.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Keep your texts coming into 51551 and your emails to ray@rte.ie. Brian Murray and Una Crawford O'Brien are one of Fair City's most loved couples. In fact, I would argue the most loved couple, playing Bob Charles and Renee Phelan on screen. The pair have been a real life couple for 12 years and they join me now to have a chat about all things Fair City and life outside of Carrickstown. And also, let's not look at you two fabulous people on the front of the RTE guide. Oh, you look gorgeous, so you do.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, you've got to be proud of that one. It's amazing. And you're inside and you're swinging on swings and looking loved up.
We were having a great time,
yeah,
weren't we?
Having a laugh. Yeah,
it's so good to see you. And it's always great to see the two of you. I always enjoy having a catch up. And during the break, we were actually reminiscing. It's 2006, is it?
Yes.
That we appeared on Celebrity You're a Star.
Oh, my gosh.
No. How is it that long ago?
I don't know. And that was basically kind of the beginning of Brian and I as well during that show.
Did you get together on that show?
Kind of, sort of.
Did you? Yeah. And none of us copped on. Yeah. I was too busy singing You're So Vain and I can't even remember what else I sang really badly.
You got further than we did.
I think I got really kicked out.
We must have been terrible, you know.
Oh, God. It was great crack.
I had great crack.
I've never been so terrified in my life.
Yep. No.
Getting up on stage and singing.
We had a great crowd.
Great crowd. And Twink was
shit.
Dahi was shit. And
Mac.
Yes. And John.
And Louis Copeland.
Louis Copeland. And Twink used to always be given out to us because we'd
always.
She was brilliant because she was so passionate about how we sang.
Yeah.
And we'd always go out for a few bevvies after that. And then I'll never forget her saying to me, Catherine, if you have another late night, she said, you already sound like a man with that deep voice. And she was like, that's doing you no favours whatsoever. Yeah. But she was dead right.
Listen, brilliant.
She's brilliant. Because I know you still enjoy music, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
And you love an old sing-song. And
I listen to music every day.
Do you play the guitar as well?
I got my birthday presents for my last big birthday from the lady on my left, who was an acoustic guitar, which I hadn't had for maybe 8 years. And I picked it up and started Paul Simon.
He told me he could play, and he has always told me he could play, but I never heard him.
Right.
So I decided for his birthday, which was 2 weeks ago, that I would buy him a guitar.
Okay.
And he actually picked it up and played it. So I had to I was saying, now this is the, you know.
Will he, won't
will he?
Will he, won't
he? You know, pluck, pluck, pluck. But he actually played tunes.
So it's not going to be like a coat hanger or a clothes hanger. You're actually, are you kind of trying to do a little bit every day?
I'd like to get good at it as opposed to just, you know, a messer around on it.
And I suppose that just comes with practice.
It does really. You need to be doing it. But now on the net, you can get chords for almost anything. So you just kind of have a look and get the chords and you're away.
Yeah.
I'm going to try some of the Neil Young, which you heard at the concert.
I went to see Neil Young and Bob Dylan, so I thought with the guitar, I'll just try a bit of Neil Young. So
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. And how fantastic for you to come up and, like, that's a great birthday present for a significant birthday.
That is it all, though.
Oh, his other present was better and kind of overshadowed it, which was a puppy.
No.
Yes.
Oh, what sort of puppy? What did you get?
A little Scotty.
Scotty.
And is that your first pet together?
It's our first pet together. My first pet since I was a young boy.
Wow.
And his name is Bob.
Bob Charles.
I love it. And how are you coping with toilet training are you cleaning pee up?
Very challenging.
Oh my.
And taking your laces and pulling your laces out of your shoe.
And have you had the skirting boards go yet? Biting into the skirting boards?
No.
Oh, you haven't had that? Have you had the heel of a shoe gone yet, Una?
No.
Have you had your garden dug up yet? You've all that to look forward to.
It's all kind of raised, so it's not too bad.
He's gorgeous, though. He's really lovely.
Listen, we've got to talk about Fair City because you usually just film around the corner here.
Across the road, yeah.
It is such an institution and the fans are so loyal and that has not wavered. You look at the viewers, you look at the ratings week on week, year on year, and it's just...
Well, we're 30 years in existence in September, which is absolutely fantastic. And it has grown and grown and grown. And we get so many viewers.
Yeah.
And it might be big in Dublin, but down the country, it's huge.
Huge.
People love it, don't they?
Oh, they love it, yeah.
And they're obviously still, you know...
improving, as in, I don't mean improving, but changing with the times as well, in order that like great storylines coming in, great actors coming, bringing in new talent as well.
Yes.
And that's so important in order to keep the audience engaged.
Absolutely.
And a new completely upgraded lot and set.
Yes.
Now, you know, HD. So we're now right, we're as current as you can possibly be.
What was that like, moving from one section of the car park to next?
Well, kind of funny.
It just took a little bit of kind of readjusting and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's kind of done now and we take it for granted, but it looks so well on the screen.
It does. Yeah, it looks amazing.
And as Una said, rightly so, the reaction that you get from the folks out there is always amazing.
Yeah. And is it true that you still, you know, people stop you in the street and still think that you're Rene? You know, do they still, does that happen still?
Kind of, sort of. Yes,
does it?
It does, it does.
They're so invested in the characters.
Yes, they are actually. I remember one time, this is years ago, and myself and Christy had just taken over the shop, Phelan's, and I went in, I was making a patchwork quilt at the time, and I said to the woman, would this piece of fabric go with that piece of fabric? And she said, it would, yes, but where are you going to get the time? And I said, sorry? And she said, well, now that you've taken over the shop, you have no time. And she was serious.
Isn't it brilliant?
You know?
Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not only, as you said, it's a Dublin following all around the country.
All around the country.
And then you two, because RTE marched in Pride for the first time this year, you two were front and centre. And the reaction from you guys, front and centre, people were falling over themselves, you know, cheering you on and looking
at
you.
That's not us. Yeah. That was the programme.
But it's also just acknowledging the Brazilians that were there and in the crowd and everything as well. They were like, oh, fair city, fair city. So you've got the Brazilian audience following you as well.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
It was what great. A great day that was. That was one of the great days.
What was it like to march in that?
It was exciting. It was completely, you were in awe of it all, because walking down O'Connell Street, coming down to the O'Connell Monument, all you could see was people. It was just people as far as you could see, and a great celebratory day.
Young, old, babies in arms.
All kinds of, you know, young people, as you say, older people, people from different parts of the world and different parts of the country coming up and saying hello. And it was just a fantastic day. It was a bit like, wow, great day.
Amazing.
It was a kind of an honour to be there.
It was. Totally.
And it was lovely to get that reaction from everybody, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
And I suppose going from a real high like that to such a low, and it's been a very sad time for all of you and all of the cast and the crew on Fair City as well, because I know you're one big family. And of course there was the death of Tom Jordan and of Carl Shields.
Yes.
Yeah. That just so suddenly
within two and a half weeks
of each other. How?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you were obviously completely and utterly shocked.
Completely. I mean, we're still in a state of shock. There is a feeling in the studio and around, you know, and as you say, everybody is involved. And especially with Carl, who was working, I was working with him the Wednesday before he died, and we knew he wasn't very well, you know, but you still don't expect that this man that you're talking to is going to be dead in a few days' time. Mm. I mean, he's only 47.
I know.
It was a real shock for people.
And the if there is a good side to something like that, one of the things that was remarkable after Carl died was the number of people who came up to us on the street and said, I'm sorry to hear about your colleague.
Mm. And they're still doing it.
And still doing it.
Every day.
So Tom made his mark by actually, you know, Tom had been in it since the very beginning. Mm. And then the folks heard about that. And then shortly after that, for a 47-year-old member of the cast, Carl Shields, Robbie, to be gone. It was a real shock for lots of people.
How do you cope with that in terms of having to dust yourselves off and turn up? And it for anybody who loses a colleague at work, it's very difficult. But when you guys have to continue and like the show must go on and you have to perform,
Well, it was great. I mean, the decision was made. Our executive producer, Bridget De Courcy, decided that work would halt during the funeral. Mm-hmm. And so a bus took most of our colleagues that were working out to the funeral, which was fantastic that we could all be there. And like there were cameramen, there were makeup artists, there were wardrobes, there were the actors, we were all there.
Mm. And people, you know, who were just staging, just had come and were waiting outside the church. It was like a day of mourning for a young man who's...
Because you're right, it is like a family.
Oh, yes.
You know, it was a family member that was gone. And we were beginning to get over Tom, And that was sad because that was so sudden as well. And he was due in work the following week and they were rewriting scripts because he was now not there.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he had died. And that was very difficult. And then suddenly out of the blue, this happened as well. So it was, we're still in a state of shock.
It hasn't passed yet. It won't for a while.
And give us some idea, like in terms of the overall Fair City family, how many people are you talking when you're dealing with talking with crew and cast?
Oh,
and
gosh.
Would it be 100?
Would it be 100?
It would have to be 100. Mm.
I'd say it would
yeah.
be.
Mm. Yeah, with, you know, designers, prop boys and girls, mm. Lighting designers and makeup artists and wardrobe. And it's a huge, big industry. Mm. I mean, it's a big, major take on.
And it struck me, Una, when you said that you were given, you know, that time where everybody could take, you know, time to go to the funeral. I thought you were going to say, you know, the day off or 2 days off.
Oh, no,
but
no, no.
That's not possible because the show must go on.
No,
and Fair City is what it is.
Exactly. And the bus took everybody back and just resumed work for the rest of the afternoon.
Mm.
And thankfully, you and I weren't in.
Yeah.
But the others that were in said it was just an awful day, you know. Mm. But you were talking about how the public react and everything. A lady came up to me and she said, "I'm really, really sorry to hear about your colleague." And we were talking about him. And she said, "I'm so pleased he made it up with his mother." And I'm kind of going, what does she mean exactly? And then I realised she meant his mother in Fair City.
Yes.
Ruth Hegarty.
Yes.
And she said, I'd be devastated if he hadn't, she said, because...
Oh, God.
And she meant it as
well. I know. And again, it's approaching the 30th anniversary of the series. Does that, when you think about that, does it continually surprise you that it's there, it's running, it's...
Absolutely.
Because I know, I mean, I'm very lucky to have worked on long series. When I did No Frontiers, it was 10 years. When I did Operation Transformation, still on, that's going on 14 years.
Mm. Yes.
30 years with Fair City. I have a long way to go, lads, to stay in the game.
People have grown up with it now. And their children are watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's an establishment. It's an Irish establishment. And people look at it and some of them believe it and some of them say they don't. The people that say, I never watched Fair City, but I like the way you said so-and-so last week. So people are in denial about it.
Yeah.
I never watch it myself.
Well, it's a great testament to ye and everyone who works on it because there's so much choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have that audience, that loyal audience, and they're not going anywhere.
Jordan was one of two actors who were in it from the beginning, and Tony Tormey is the other actor. So now we just have Tony, you know, and the rest of us have come and gone over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm lucky enough, I'll be there 21 years in November.
Wow.
I did go to Brazil at one stage, but we won't talk about that.
You came back from Brazil, no bother.
Sure.
And I never even got to talk to you. You're planning a big trip to India. Are you planning a big trip to India sometime
soon? Well,
that's
to celebrate his birthday as well.
I know.
His birthday's
you know, you're the luckiest man in the world when it comes to birthday. I hope my fella is listening, Una, and getting some ideas.
I'm looking forward to India. I might even bring my guitar.
Oh, God.
There you go. Fair City is on tonight, of course, on RTE1 at 8 o'clock. Brian and Una, so nice to talk to you, as always. Thanks for coming in today and continued success and love on and off screen, shall we say. That's all for me today. Mary Wilson is next on Drive Time. Have a great afternoon.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Expert advice on hay fever for welcome relief. At Allcare, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.